Starting place this afternoon to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Hang on to my papers today. Got a storm up here. I don't think it has variable speeds. It's got one speed, so maybe you could turn it that way a little. It's fine. You're hot? Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to be fighting the papers all afternoon. All right, Colossians chapter number 1. We've been talking about matters of Christian character in action, living out the doctrines of the Bible. And this afternoon, our topic is practicing forgiveness. And I must make one request of you. Before we pray and start this message, please do not listen this afternoon thinking about the person that you hope will hear this so that they will forgive you for what you've done to them. Please listen today as the one who needs to do the forgiving, okay? Not the one who expects to be forgiven. I find that people take liberties with the Bible and they twist it around to suit their own ends and their own purposes. Well, you don't have to twist it around if you leave it as God wrote it. If you do that, it'll serve you well. It'll be a blessing to your life. Let the Word of God speak to you today. You don't have to try and manipulate the Word of God. Just let the Word of God alter you. Amen. So this afternoon, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, please show us what's lacking in our own lives, our Christian walk, our relationship with our brethren in Christ, our family members, the people that we work with, the people we come across in our day-to-day walk. Help us, Lord, to examine ourselves to see if there might be someone that we should forgive or someone that we'd like to forgive us. But, Lord, teach us what you say about this matter of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, I really, really, really like the parts of the Bible about God forgiving me because I have sinned so often in so many ways against the Lord, and so I rejoice in his forgiveness. I don't like the parts in the Bible about forgiving others. And listen, it's not because I don't want to have a forgiving spirit, but because it tells me up front that things, you know, just that fact right there, it tells me that things are going to happen in my life and things are going to be done to me in my life that will require me to forgive the ones who have done those things to me, okay? And so that's what I don't like. But then I step back and I think, well, what if God hadn't put that in the Bible? I would be so shocked and so surprised when somebody did do me wrong that I'd be tempted to say something like, Lord, why did that happen to me? Well, here he tells me it's going to happen to me, so I'm not going to be shocked about it. Okay, when the Bible is filled with instructions on how to forgive others, it's as though the Lord is telling us right up front, look, it's just what happens in this world. We bang into each other. We hurt each other. We offend each other, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, on purpose or by accident. So here is how you deal with it so that those hurts and those offenses don't ruin your life and ruin your testimony. And that's important. So let's consider, first of all, the definition of our word forgive. It doesn't mean justified, okay? Justify means to declare righteous. I'm called upon to forgive you. I'm never called upon to justify you because I'm not being asked to declare that what somebody did was righteous. Oftentimes it's not righteous what someone did to me. Forgiveness is not about the offending party didn't really offend or the person who hurt me didn't really hurt me or didn't mean to. No, there's real offenses, there's real hurts and real sins and real crimes. Forgiveness is not declaring righteous. Forgiveness is to pardon, to remit as an offense or a debt, to overlook an offense, and treat the offender as not guilty. Treat the offender as not guilty. The original and proper phrase is to forgive the offense, to send it away, to reject it. Reject that offense. That is to not to impute it, not to put it to that offender. Okay, and the simplest use of this in our manners, which believe it or not, we are going to talk about here in a few weeks. Someone bumps into you and they say, "Pardon me," and you say, "No problem," or you say, "That's okay." And so what you're saying there is, we don't even need to deal with this. It's not a big deal. It's not significant enough to create an issue between you and me. Okay? All you did was bump into me. Pardon me. You're pardoned. Meaning, I'm not going to punch you in the face because you bumped into me. Now, these minor offenses, they might become not so minor. They might escalate until we reach the point in our lives where somebody has gone beyond "it's no big deal" to, "yeah, it is a big deal." And I can, so can I pardon? The question is, can I pardon a greater offense as easily as I can pardon that lesser offense? Okay, that's really the issue. Well, And we'll see it from the scriptures. In Colossians chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light," okay, which means we were not. Verse 13, "who hath delivered us from the power of darkness," which means that we were in darkness, and under its power, and we had to be delivered, "and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Isn't that amazing? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was shed for us so that God would have a just and righteous basis upon which to forgive our sins. It's a joy to get up in the morning and know that I'm forgiven. This afternoon, it's a joy to sing songs about being forgiven. Tonight, it's going to be a joy to get to the end of my day and know that though I'm very disappointed in my failure to be all that God wanted me to be, still, I am forgiven. Praise God, there has not been a sin in my life. There has not been a sin in your life where God drew that line and said, "That's it. That offense is too great. That sin has crossed the line. I'm not going to forgive that one." In fact, the only line that God has established is if you breathe your last breath, having refused to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Short of that, you can be forgiven. Thank God. Thank God. So the Lord who has saved us, and the Lord in whose footsteps we're supposed to walk, has shown us where to draw the line on forgiveness. He never drew a line on you. He never drew a line on me. Thank God for it. All right, let's go to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter number 1, and the Bible says here in verse number 8, 1 John 1, 8, "If we say that we have no sins, we deceive ourselves." Now, you're going to run into that quite a bit when you're out witnessing. Okay, people who say they have no sin. I'm good. I'm a good person, right? But you shouldn't ever run into that in the church house. You should have that figured out by now. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Okay, so the truth is we have sinned. That's the truth. And then it says, if we confess our sins, okay, this is not a man in a robe, you know, going to that man in a robe and naming your sin to him one by one. It's, in fact, this isn't even talking about finding God and naming your sins one by one to God. Okay, this is the connection here, actually, to verse number 8. You say you have no sin, you're deceived. Just come on, admit it, confess it. I have sinned, I am a sinner. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we're not talking about us just yet on the forgiving part. We're talking about us at the point in time, right now, we're talking about us on the receiving end of forgiveness, how God forgave us. What penalty did God demand of you because of your sin? What payment did God require of you in order to forgive you of your sin? He said, if you will simply come to me and acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner, I have, verse number 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. I have provided the means whereby I might forgive you. I'm waiting to do that very thing, to forgive you. I just need you to come to me as a sinner and allow me to forgive you. Praise the Lord. We're here today with peace in our hearts, joy in our soul, and hope for the future because of this great truth, that the God against whom we have sinned has forgiven us. Praise the Lord. Look in Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. I like so much the sermons that we have in the Bible that are preached by the Lord Jesus Christ. I like so much the great truths that we have in our Bible that are taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. But man, listen to these words from the cross and tell me if they don't, in our own personal lives, take precedence over all of those truths. Luke 23, verse 34. Verse 34, then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. Now, this is why we don't have a confessional booth. This is why we don't have somebody kneel beside you at an altar and help you call to remembrance all of your sins so that you can name them one by one. The truth of the matter is, the day that I came to Christ as my Savior, I did not know enough about the Bible to know how many sins I had committed. Did you? Okay. The day I called on the Lord for salvation, I didn't know the scriptures well enough to know where and how I had offended the Lord. And all these decades later, I'm still having revealed to me, as I try to live out my Christian life, having revealed to me things in my life that come very, very short of the glory of God. I'm glad that Jesus Christ not only forgives me for what I know that I've done wrong, but he forgives me for those wrongs that I know nothing about yet. All right? We could say this afternoon, boy, I really think I got that pride thing under control now. Because we haven't stood in the presence of Jesus Christ, amen? We could say, well, I think I'm doing pretty good on that holiness thing because we haven't yet stood in the presence of Christ. I really think I'm separated from the world because we haven't yet stood in the presence of Jesus Christ. Don't you know that when we pass from this life to the next, when we stand at the glorious in the glorious presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in that land that is fairer than day, you will have an understanding of holiness and righteousness and purity and love that you can't even comprehend on your best day right now. And I'm thankful this afternoon, though I can quote the verse, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," I really have no idea what that means from God's vantage point. But I know this, my Savior asked his Father to forgive me, not just for the things I knew about, but the things of which I have no comprehension, things I don't know about. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I want to jump ahead just a little bit into our forgiving others. You know how many times we have said something with a bad attitude or a wrong spirit, or when we're a little bit upset with somebody else, not even the person that we're interacting with and offending right now. You know how many times we have hurt someone and we really didn't mean to and sometimes didn't know that we did it. Okay? No, you can't know. You can't know. You know how many times you have violated somebody's idea of righteousness or failed to meet someone's expectation for holiness? No, you don't, because you don't know what that person is expecting. There was a pastor I heard about. He had a problem. He said, "I don't know what to do. I got this man in our church. He's about to drive away half of our congregation because he's getting in the face of all the women in the church, and he's telling them that it's a sin to wear lipstick." Well, it might be, it might not be. You know, we could argue about shade and color and quantity and all of that stuff. But personally, I don't think a man should be telling a woman that he's not married to, or a woman who's not his daughter, what to wear or what not to wear on her lips. Anyway, you say, well, where did that guy get that idea in the first place, that it was a sin? Well, there's a preacher on the internet, and he's got this little video against lipstick. And if you watch that video, you see the man, he's wearing wire-rimmed glasses. And if you think about it, you could use the exact same logic against that man wearing those wire-rimmed glasses, you know, and say, well, why would I listen to anyone preaching against lipstick when he's got those hippie glasses on? How many of you remember when some preachers were preaching against wire-rimmed glasses back in the day? It's been a while. Now, but my point is this. That man takes offense at women doing something that he thinks is wrong, that the Bible says nothing about, while he's doing something that other people might think is wrong, that the Bible says nothing about. And I'm saying that to make this point. People who offend you, they didn't always set out to offend you. That wasn't their goal. People who hurt you didn't always plan to hurt you. In fact, many times we are angry with someone or bitter against someone or holding something in our heart against someone, and they honestly don't even know what they did. But you think they did something, and you're holding on to it, and it's hurting you, and it's hurting that relationship. And they can't make it right because they don't even know what's wrong. Well, they just need to apologize. Who wakes up in the morning and says, let me see, is there anything I need to apologize to anybody for today? And there's some times that you know, okay, but there's other times you have no idea why that person just quit talking to you and started avoiding you, or why they didn't include you in something. And so here the Lord is saying, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and forgive the people who nailed me to this cross, who don't even have any idea what they're doing here today. How about that? All right, so let's talk about us a little bit. We are the great recipients of God's incredible forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Husband, go ahead, look at it. Look at the Bible. Turn there. Wives, go ahead, take a look at this. Parents, children, church members, let's see what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Okay, what is it that would grieve the Holy Spirit? Verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now, do you see that bitterness? That doesn't come from nowhere. That's something in my heart towards another person because of something that came from them my direction. Okay? Wrath. Oh, I want to get them if it's the last thing I do. They deserve it. Anger. I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. Careful. Be careful. That might be the last piece of your mind that you got. Clamor. That's just making noise. Just making a big racket. You know, we've had people in church. Maybe you've got some people in your extended family. Did you know that they're not happy unless they're unhappy? You ever met somebody like that? They're not content unless they're stirring up some kind of a controversy and strife. And then evil speaking. If somebody has done you wrong, why go tell everybody else about it? Go fix it up with that person that did you wrong. Evil speaking, be put away from you with all malice. Well, malice, that's a desire to see somebody else suffer or get it in the neck, as the saying goes. Verse 32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. Now, so what would be the cure for bitterness? Just forgive. What's the cure for wrath, for anger? Just forgive. What's the cure for all this clamor and this evil speaking? Just forgive. If you get out of your heart what you have against that other person, just get it out of your heart, it's going to take out all these other things with it. Just forgive. Well, you don't know what they've done to me. Finish the verse. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, this is really pretty powerful. The wording almost sounds like God didn't really want to forgive me, but he did it for Jesus. To this day, he knows I really should be in hell, but he did it for Jesus. He forgave me for Jesus' sake. You know what the Lord's asking us? Just do it for Jesus. Maybe they really do deserve your bitterness. Maybe they really do deserve my anger. Maybe they really do deserve to be talked about behind their back. But for Christ's sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ, just go ahead and forgive them. Now, how would it be for the sake of Jesus Christ? How is that? Okay, well, because the last thing that a judge and a clerk and a bailiff and a courtroom full of people waiting their turn, the last thing they need to see and hear is another couple of professing Christians in that courtroom getting divorced because they couldn't forgive each other. For Christ's sake, forgive each other. The last thing the world needs is another person who used to go to church, showing up for work on Sunday or here on Friday, who doesn't go to church anymore, and they can't wait to tell everybody at work how they were done wrong by somebody at a church somewhere. For Christ's sake, forgive them. You understand? Your parents, they're going to do some things that you think are out of line. Your children are going to do some things that really are out of line. Your brothers and sisters in Christ, they're going to slam up against you and wound you and hurt you and offend you sometimes. What about Jesus? What about his testimony in your life, in our life? If you're not going to forgive for your sake, forgive for his sake. If you're not going to forgive to be a blessing to the other person, forgive so that what's going on between you and that other person doesn't become between you and their friends and your friends and their acquaintances and your acquaintances. And now the name of Jesus Christ has one more blemish on it. Thank you very much. Because somebody opted for anger and malice and bitterness instead of forgiveness. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter number 3, verse number 12. Colossians 3:12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Okay? This is a fact. This is a fact. The Bible is true. This is a fact. You see that humbleness of mind? You see that meekness? To the extent to which I am offended, the extent that I am offended is directly related to the extent to which I think myself important. You understand? The more highly I view myself, the more highly I'm going to view your failure to view me as highly as I view myself. Right? I mean, honestly, if somebody bumps up to you in a crowded place, how dare you bump into me? Right? Me. Oh, well, who are you? Who are you? You can say, well, how you could, now here's your choices. You could say, how dare you bump up against me? Or you could say, oh, I'm sorry, forgive me for being in your way. And mean it. See, not sarcastically. See, one of those is a humble position, and the other one is a proud position. Now, so what I'm trying to get you to see is the more I think of myself, the harder it's going to be for me to forgive you. Because as I magnify myself in my own mind, that magnifies your offense, right? And the more highly I view myself, the more lowly I view you. And I look from my lofty position down at you and I say, how dare you, you little whatever, human sinner? Don't you know who you just offended? And they're looking down also and saying, what's your problem, you little human sinner? It wasn't such a big deal. See, our trouble is that we're striving for the mastery. Does that sound familiar? Now, if I know I'm a little sinner, and you know that you're a little sinner, we sure can minimize the conflict, couldn't we? And then so he says in verse number 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Okay, so here are saved people who have quarrels. Too bad. But hey, if it wasn't in the Bible, you would think that the Bible wasn't a real book or that it wasn't really written by God. If any man have a quarrel against any. So here's a saved man who is against another saved man. Here's a saved woman who's against another saved woman. Do you know what the Holy Spirit said? Just let him win. Just let her win. Let them be right. Yeah, but they're wrong. Just let them be right. Well, they didn't handle it properly. Okay, they didn't handle it properly. So what? Get on with your life. Are you saved? Are you blessed? Do you have 1,000 good gifts from God every hour? Get on with your life. Well, you know, my wife, the other day, she said something to me. Yeah, you never said anything like that to her before? Come on. Get over it. We need to learn to get over it. Put it behind you. Move on. Okay, so watch. Watch. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Don't you think Jesus could keep this thing going? How many times a day could Jesus say, uh-huh? How many times a day could Jesus say, there you go again? How many times a day could Jesus say, after all I've done for you, and that's what I get in return? But he doesn't do that. He doesn't. We have a great relationship with the Lord because he chooses not to make a big deal of my failures. We have a great relationship with the Lord because he chooses to act as though I'm the important one and he's the unimportant one. And he allows me to treat him very, very badly. And he continues. He continues to treat me very, very well. And he said, do you want to have a good relationship? Try it my way. Try it my way. Just stop taking offense at everything that somebody does to you. Because I stopped taking offense at everything that you do to me. A long time ago. Don't you think that Jesus could keep this thing a running argument, you know, between you and him, between me and him? Don't you think we could just fight all day long, you know, there you go again, you know, all these years? Honestly, I don't know about you, but all these years, I don't think I'm getting any better at being a Christian. I really don't. I don't think I'm making any progress at all. Oh, wretched man that I am. Those verses there, those are true. That's the truth, man. Let us lay aside every weight. Okay, I got it on this shoulder. I'll lay it aside, but unfortunately I lay it on the other shoulder. Okay, I don't think I've done anything but just shift it from one shoulder to the other. Lord, Lord, look, I got rid of it. No, you just moved it over. You know, who do you think you're fooling? But you know what he does? He doesn't hold bitterness. He doesn't hold malice. He doesn't put his wrath upon me. It's amazing if you think about it. And here's what he said. Why are you eating yourself alive and destroying all your relationships, demanding that everybody who hasn't recognized your lordship, demanding that they bow at your feet? It's never going to happen. So just stop expecting so much of others. Set your expectations for others where Christ sets his expectations for us. That's not very high. He doesn't require my perfection to make it a good relationship. Stop requiring perfection to have good relationships with other people. They're not going to meet your expectations. Forgive them. You have a quarrel, all right? Look at Luke 17. Notice that in any of these verses about us forgiving, the Lord doesn't say that they really didn't do it, or he didn't say that it wasn't really that bad. Forgiveness, it's not really concerned with the other person. It's concerned with ourselves. It's not about what you do. and how bad it was, how bad the thing was that you did to me. No, it's what I do in response that we're concerned with. It's not what's in your heart. It's what it brings out in my heart, what you do to me. Okay, Luke 17, verse 3. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Oh boy, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rebuke him. Yeah. Yeah, but here's what God's getting at here. If I offend you today, if I sin against you, and I hope I don't, but if I sin against you today, don't tell your spouse, tell me. Okay? Don't tell other people in the, you know, on the way out the door. Okay? Tell me. Don't write a post about it and put it on the internet. Talk to me about it. I'm the one you think did something to you. Let's get it right between the two of us, right? So the Lord said, don't use a problem in one relationship to create problems in multiple relationships. Go work it out with the person who has bothered you. Isn't that good? Makes a lot of sense to me. Verse number 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times a day, and 7 times a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Ho-ho! How about that? It's getting hard, isn't it? 7 times a day? Well, where's your line? Okay, what's your limit? There you go. If you do that one more time, well, whoever it is you're saying that to, they are going to do it one more time. If they've done it enough times to make you say, if you do that one more time, they're going to do it another time, aren't they? Well, Peter, he caught on to this, and Peter said, Lord, you know, I forgave this guy. How many times do you expect me to forgive him? And Jesus said, 7 times? No, how about 7 times 70 a day? That's 490, for those of you who want the math on that. A day, 490 times a day. Now, sister, I don't know what your husband does that angers you. He probably doesn't do it 490 times a day. And husband, your wife, maybe she does, but probably not every day. Okay? And you say, I tell you, my kids, yeah, but not 490 times a day. And you know what the Lord did? He just set this number out there where if somebody tried every waking minute of any day to offend you, they probably would run out of time before they could manage to offend you 490 times doing that same thing. Pretty tough. All right, so let's try something here. Let's try something. Do you remember yesterday? Your life yesterday, my life yesterday. And no show of hands, no verbal testimonies. Your life yesterday, my life yesterday. Okay? 7 times 70, 490 times. If you went to work, if you went to the store, if you went for a walk, if you went out to eat, how many people did you encounter? How many people did you walk right past yesterday, knowing that Jesus said to preach the gospel to every creature? We probably hit that one 490 times a day. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. Well, how did you do on that yesterday? Okay, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I would suggest to you that in many, many ways, we hit that 490 consistently in our relationship, in our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody sins against someone else 490 times a day, it's you and it's me sinning against the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what we all had yesterday? We had food, clothing, shelter, salvation, sealing with the Holy Ghost, eternal life, joy, hope. Stop me, somebody. Right? I mean, come on. Come on. Jesus is not asking you to do something that he doesn't do. He's not calling upon us to perform something that cannot be performed. Every single day of my life, Jesus puts up with sins more than could be numbered. You know that's true, and he doesn't hold any of them against me. He doesn't hold any of them against you. We want to really, we want to be the Father on the white throne judgment. We don't want to be the Son at the judgment seat of Christ. What do I mean? Well, you know what the Father does at the white throne judgment? He opens the books and he calls you to account for every wrong thing you've ever done. And you know what happens at the judgment seat of Christ? Jesus takes every wrong thing you've ever done and burns it up so that it doesn't even have to be addressed. How do you like that? And, you know, the Bible doesn't say that we're going to be conformed to the image of the Father. It says we're going to be conformed to the image of Christ, doesn't it? Just take that stuff that people have done, stuff that has hurt you, and burn it up so it doesn't have to be dealt with. Forgive. All right, one more stop. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. You ought to be thankful if you're not married to somebody who keeps score. I'm so thankful to pastor a church full of people who don't keep score. You should be thankful that your kids are not good at keeping score. There you go again. That's the 34th time this week that you've done that. Really, you're counting. Here's what I want. I want the members of my family to love me. I do. I want people I go to church with to love me. I do. I want people that I interact with to love me. Really, I do. I know I probably don't give that impression, but I really do. Now, I want to show you something here. We're going to read quite a lot here, but from the Bible. But I want to show you something because this is so powerful. In Luke chapter 7, we'll start in verse number 36. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, that means not out loud, this is his thoughts here. He spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And look at verse 40, and Jesus answering, the man didn't say anything. He thought something. Man, it would be scary to be in the presence of the Lord, wouldn't it? You think something and he says, yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Wouldn't it be something? I'm up here preaching and, you know, and God gave you that. Oh, yeah. And the Lord says, oh, you didn't like that? You didn't like that preaching? You didn't like what the Word of God said there? Wouldn't it be something if he responded to your thoughts during the preaching? That'd be pretty dangerous. All right, let's go on. Verse 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say against thee, or unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Okay? Why did she do all those things for Jesus? Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Husband, do you want your wife to love you more? Forgive her more. Do you want your husband to love you more? Forgive him more. Do you want your friends to love you more? Forgive them more. Don't try to settle the score. Don't try and make them pay. Don't call them to account. Jesus, he told us, it's just a fact of life. The unsaved Pharisee, he agreed. It's just a fact of life. The more you forgive people, the more they will love you. It's in the Bible. You don't gain love by proving that you're right. You don't gain love by winning the argument. You don't gain love by holding out until the other person surrenders. Jesus said you gain love by forgiving. But I don't want to. None of us do. None of us do, but here's what the Lord said. Look, he said, as the heavens are high above the earth, so is my wisdom above your wisdom. All right, we ought to listen to him then, right? Here's what God said. He said, take it from me. You want to win? Long term, do you want to win? Forgive. You want to get what you really want? Okay, don't win today's argument. Forgive. Forgive. And guess what you'll receive? In time, he who is forgiven much loves much. Now, yeah, my flesh, it recoils. It doesn't like it, okay? It's always, well, what about this? What about that? No, just trust God. Just trust God. Try it the Lord's way, and you'll find out he's right again. He's always right. He's always right. Forgive. Forgive. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this lesson. It's so needed, Lord. We've messed up so many relationships by failing in this thing here. So, Father, I pray that you'll help us to, if we can't do it because you said to do it, to do it for your sake, for Christ's sake. And, Father, we pray that you'll help us to catch ourselves whenever we start going down that road of vengeance and anger and hoping somebody gets hurt for what they did to us. And help us, Lord, to practice, to actually put it to practice, this matter of forgiveness. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to see great differences in our relationships when we do this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brother Joel.